Now, the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciple come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Amen. That's the end of the scripture. We shall continue during the sermon on Matthew 28 over to the next day. But I'll just like you to hang out in the 66th verse to say, So they went, made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Just look at the person next to you and say, Neighbor, O neighbor, a stone, a seal, and soldiers. A stone, a seal, and soldiers. That's the topic for this morning. I know you all know about something we've had they call conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory is rife in the world. And look no further, conspiracy story didn't start today. It started way back in the Bible. And this is a conspiracy version of the Bible that the scripture says, even today, some people believe that Jesus never rose from the grave. Come back with me into antiquity. Let's go back a little bit onto Friday. Jesus, by 9 o'clock in the morning, Jesus was already crucified. He was on the cross by 9, and by 3 o'clock, he was dead. Now, there's a Passover that the Jews celebrate, the Sabbath. Their Sabbath is on a Saturday, not a Sunday. So they hurriedly try to get Jesus off the cross so that because they don't want blood on their hands. So they hurriedly try to get this crucifixion done. And Joseph of Arimathea, who begged Pilate to give him Jesus' body so that he can be buried. And during this process, when they are trying to hurry so that it wouldn't get before 6 o'clock, Nicodemus, together with Joseph, put some spices and wrapped Jesus quickly and they buried him. Now Jesus is buried, and the same Sanhedrin council came to Pilate, say, Sir, we remember what he said. So, if you don't do something, Pilate, the disciples will steal his body and say that he has risen, and the problems you had before will be worse than what you will have if you allow that to happen. So Pilate gave the order. Say, go, put a stone on the tomb. Put the governor's seal on top of the tomb and put some soldiers to guard it. Don't you miss this. Put a stone on the tomb. Put my seal as a sign of authority and put some soldiers. If there is a stone, there is a seal, and some soldiers, nobody's going in, nobody's going out. End of scripture. Next day morning, the women, everybody say the women. We just celebrated Women's Day a few weeks ago. Now they've taken center stage again. The women, they decided that Jesus wasn't buried properly because he was in a hurry, so they need to go to anoint the body. Now, there's a tradition that they have of an embalming process, which we have right now. They need to put all the spice to prevent the body from decay. So, Mary and a host of other Marys gathered themselves and said they are going to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. But they found out that they don't have one problem. They don't have two problems. They had three problems. One, there is a stone. There is a seal, and there are soldiers. Don't miss this. There is a stone protecting the tomb. There is a seal of authority that they shouldn't cross, and there are soldiers guarding them. But get what? They went anyway. The women went anyway. Now you want to ask yourself one question. Where were the men? Where was Brother Moindo when you needed him? Where was Pastor Badisay? Where were all the men? They were in hiding. But the women decided that we don't know how it's going to happen. We know there's a stone. We know there's a seal. And we know there are soldiers. But we are going anyway. That's point number one for the resurrection story. Is you have to master the ministry of presence. Let's say that together. The ministry of presence. Your presence has to be there. What's the point of God performing a miracle if you are not to see it? The ministry. Now remember, I told you, pay attention. The stone represents an obstacle. The seal represents some powers of authority. And the soldiers represent people. I'll say that again. The stone is some problem that you have to encounter. The stone are problems that you have to face. The stone, challenges that you have to face. The seal are authority, systems, structures that are put in place that says it shouldn't be you, that says it shouldn't be that sister. And then there are people in your life, the soldiers, there are people every day. We deal with people in our lives. But guess what? The woman showed up anyway. The ministry of presence. Because when God is ready to move in your life, there's no stone that he cannot roll. There are no seals of authority that he cannot break. And there are no people that he cannot push away. Because God is God. God is a miracle working God. And that's the first miracle they found out. Because by the time they got to the tomb, God is already beat them to it. By the time they got to the tomb, the miracle had already happened. He caused an earthquake. And all the world began to shake. And that big stone that they thought that nobody could roll away, the stone was shaken. And the stone moved away. Because there's a body inside there that has to get out. A seal of authority that says it shouldn't be you. The seal was broken. And the soldiers, the Bible said the soldiers were like dead men. I don't know who I came to preach by this morning. But all those stones in your life, may they be rolled in Jesus' name. All those people blocking your life, may they be restrained in Jesus' name. All those systems that said it shouldn't be you, may they be destroyed by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. But what's the point of God doing all that if you don't show up? You want promotion in your office? You have to go to work. If you want salary increase, don't wake up in the morning and call in sick when you're not sick. You have to show up at work. You have to master ministry of presence. Amen? The ministry of presence. Number two, the seal represents an authority. Which we say, the second lesson to learn is the supremacy of God's authority. Amen? The supremacy of God's authority. Pilate put a seal. Said when the people come and see there is a seal of authority, nobody's going to touch it. When there's a seal, a mark that says the governor's stamp, if you touch it, that's treasonable offense. But the women showed up anyway. And guess what? God has all the authority. That's a big amen in my church.
Amen.
God has all the authority. Amen. God has all the authority. Because we serve a God that he reigns from everlasting unto everlasting. And all power and authority belongs to who? Let's be Easter. Let's be in the Easter season. All power and authority belongs to... Okay, let me help you. In 2008, I came to Congo. In 2012, I left. I went to Uganda to work. And then in 2014, I finished my contract and I went home. After 2 months, I came back. I came back as a contractor. And then they gave me a position. I was working on this position. And on the 11th month, my supervisor came to call me to his office. He said, listen, We have a problem. What's the problem? He said, New York has created a system that all what you're doing is going to be umbrellaed in one area, and you are not among the lot. He said, they've actually recruited me so that I can go manage the system. But to tell you, I don't know what's going to happen to the position. Thank God I was a child of God. Because believe you me, that moment, I said to myself, you don't know what's going to happen to me, but I know somebody who knows what's going to happen to me. Because God is not going to pull me 2,000, 3,000 miles away to bring me back here just to send me home in 11 months. That's not the God I serve. I always get emotional when I tell this story, so bear with me. And after 2 weeks, the last time he called me into his office, after 2 weeks, he came to my office. He was smiling. And I said, what's the problem? He said, there is no problem. I've got something to tell you. He said, you remember I told you I don't know what's going to happen to you, but let me tell you, I just came out of a meeting. And the bodies have decided that they have created a structure that's going to put some people in some places. We have 3 people who are going to carry out this mantle to make sure that this new system, we capture what's going to happen. One, number two, 2 people are already there. And the third person, the boss said, this is what the boss said. I have a name I'm going to nominate. If any of you have a problem with that, please say that right now. I nominate William Lewis to go to Goma. And he said, and that guy is an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. But he said that moment, I sat down and everybody was looking at me. They thought that I instigated it. But no, it had nothing to do with me, but something to do with somebody up there. I don't know who I'm preaching this morning. People can create systems to say it's not you. But when God creates his own system, there's no stone he can't roll away. There are no seals that he cannot break. And there are no systems that he cannot crush. People of God, we serve a living God. Remember, there was somebody inside that tomb that had to get out. Jesus had to get out. So there's no stone, there's no seal that can hold the power of Jesus. All power belongs to him. All power belongs to him because we serve a God who shows supremacy of God's authority. Amen. The supremacy of God's authority. And number 3 is the folly of the arm of flesh. F-O-O-L-Y. Foolishness of the arm of flesh. That's the third lesson we learn from the resurrection story. Except if you don't exist. But if you exist, you have to deal with people. All kinds of people in your life. Foolish people. Wicked people. People who stab you in the back. People who smile to you, but their heart is dark. You deal with all kinds of people. But here's what the Bible says. The text tells us that when the power of God reached the tomb, imagine the Roman soldiers with all their spears, with all their arrows, with all the things they have. Roman soldiers were the worst soldiers. You fear them. They were wicked, they were crude, and everything. They stood to guard the tomb. But when the power of God showed up, the Bible says, we are like dead men. They were like dead men. When the God showed up in the tomb, they were like dead men. What does that mean? When I was young, we had a song we used to sing. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. The man of the world will let you down, but Jesus never fails. I don't know if you know that song. Some people, the scripture tells us, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of God. It has been written long time ago. The soldiers were present, but when God showed up, there's no man that can stand in God's way. People put their trust in things. People put their trust in money. People put their trust in the arm of flesh will fail you. That's what the scripture says. But there's one person that doesn't fail. There's one person I know that doesn't fail. You didn't hear what I said. One person I know that wasn't fail. He doesn't fail. They can put him in a tomb. They can put a seal. They can put some soldiers. But he never fails. Jesus never fails. The man will let you down, but Jesus never fails. This song we just sang, hallelujah, he has given victory. What? Death could not hold him. There is no power of evil that can hold on to Jesus. Now, the women got to, and they found the seal was broken. Were restrained, but they didn't see anybody, and they were confused. Now, this is the part I love. The Bible says the angel appeared to them and asked them. Luke has a better account. Luke asked them, "Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead?" Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Watch, just as he said he will. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He is risen just as he said he will. Let me close with this. I'm going to give you a test, an oral test. All you need to do is to answer yes or no. You answer with all your strength, with all your might, yes or no. I'm done. Sermon is over. Yes or no. The word of God, the Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and his word does not return to him void. So here's the question. Where is the question? Will he prepare a table in front of your enemies? That's not the answer. You don't answer like you know yes. Will he prepare a table in the presence of your enemies?
Yes.
Will no one prosper? See, I got you. Let's try again. Okay, let me leave it all as yes. Will he prepare for you a table in front of your enemies?
Yes.
Will he prepare, will he supply all your needs according to his riches in glory? A thousand shall fall at your side and 10,000 shall at your right hand. But will it come near you? Good. Will it come near you? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Yes or no? The Son of Man shall be crucified, but 3 days he will rise up again. Has he not risen? Now ask yourself this question. Why are you looking amongst the dead? Why fear? Why are you in sorrow? Why are you in pain? Because God's word does not return to itself void, but he lives by his word. He said, rise in 3 days, and in 3 days he rose from the grave. God is good all the time. God is good. When God is ready to bless your life, there is no stuff that can stand in your way. There are no systems that can block you, and there are no people that can restrain your life, because God broke some rules. God, some rules to bless you. And here's the last one I'm giving you. This is how we go. What God cannot do does not exist. Let us stand up. I want to sing this song. Because he lives in face tomorrow. Amorindo, can you help me with that song? Because he lives, you can sing the chorus.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Because he lives,
because he lives,
all fear is gone.
All fear is gone.
Oh, because I know,
because I know,
he holds my future.
He holds my future.
And life is worth a living.
And life is worth a living just because.
Let's sing it. Because he lives.
Because he lives.
Because he lives.
I can face tomorrow. Because he lives.
Living just because he lives.
something to God right now. Because we call ourselves Christians because of this very day. Because He lives, we live and we can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. And I know that He holds my future. He holds my going in. He holds my coming out. He holds my down sitting and my uprising. Because my Jesus lives. And because He lives, there is no stone that can stand in my way. There is no stones of sickness. There is no stones of hardship. There is no stones of bitterness. There is no stones of incapability. There is no stones of any weapon that can prosper against me. Because He lives, the seal was broken. God rules just to bless me, just to bless you. And because He lives, there is no power, there is nobody that can stand against me. Therefore, Father, I say all power and all glory and all praise and thanks to you this morning. As you've resurrected from the grave, we rise with you in knowledge that it was finished 2,000 years ago. And because you live, I live. Because you live, you live. And because you live to reign on earth, therefore I will also reign. Thank you, Father, for this word, and thank you for your children. And I pray that these words may minister well in their hearts, and we celebrate Easter with the knowledge that all power and all authority are with you. And that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in the inside of me because you live. Thank you once more, for in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
There is healing in you.